Hello, everyone. Lord be with you. You probably heard that I am coming here all over from a country called Croatia. Does anyone know where Croatia is? It's in Europe, right? Europe is a great, great place if you're going for a week or for 2 weeks. To see some amazing, amazing structures, buildings, even to see some history that is still there, it's still standing. Europe is really amazing. And I hope some of you might come one day, not just to visit, but maybe to minister to a church in Europe. Before we start today's sermon, we should read John 1. John 1, 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Amen. Europe is, as I said, an amazing place, very beautiful place. Has ever been to Europe? Have you been to Europe sometimes, anytime, maybe when you were younger? Well, if you did, you probably saw a lot of things that you could only read in the books or see in the movies or see in the museums or something like that. Or someone maybe talked to you about this magical, perfect place called Europe. Well, brothers and sisters, I am from Europe. And I will tell you something. Europe is not that great, okay? It's not that perfect. And if you watch all of this amazing American media like CNN, right? Or like Fox News or something like that, you will see that Europe is not doing really, really good currently, right? We have this war that's happening in our eastern parts of our continent, of our dear Europe. And yes, we can all see that this war is devastating. I know that some of the people want to say, this is not a war, this is special military operation. Well, I saw people dying there. I saw people being killed just because they are other nationality. And I have friends at the seminary in Ukraine, professors, theology professors, who don't know if they are ever going to see their students or minister to them in the academic capacity. This is tragedy. This is terrible. This is huge darkness. And when we talk about Europe, yes, we have, you know, these beautiful images. It's amazing. It's beautiful. But the thing is, no, it's not. It's not anymore. Maybe it was 20 years ago, but it's not today. Yes, Europe was this amazing light. But today it's not anymore. Europe used to shine on America, on Asia, on Africa. But Europe now became darkness. I know a lot about war because when I was a kid, war started in something that was called Yugoslavia. Have you ever heard of Yugoslavia? Yes, of course. Yugoslavia, big country. It was a communist country or socialist country, as we would like to remember it, as a socialist country. But yes, when Yugoslavia fell apart, it didn't fell apart peacefully, but again, with destruction, with violence, and with darkness. When we talk about Europe, yes, we have some special moments in our history, but we also have this darkness. I really love Europe. I love Croatia. This is a beautiful, beautiful country, but there has always been a little bit of darkness there. During the war, I remember my father was not at home because he had to be at the front line, and I was just a little boy who needed his father, of course. But it was really hard when you had to hide in the basement because, you know, the bombs are falling on your shelter and you never know if you are going to survive. You're not sure, are you ever going to see your father again or your grandmother or your mother? Europe is not just light, it's not just happiness, it is darkness. But I will tell you what I did when war started in Croatia in 1991, before I was sent to Germany to live with my uncle. I was alone at my apartment, and I had these old videotapes, VHS tapes. There was no beta in Croatia. It was all VHS, right? And I found these old movies from 70s and 80s. And one of these movies is actually still my favorite film. You'll never guess the title of that movie. The title is A Nightmare on Elm Street. I loved it. It was great. But you have to understand why it was so great. Yes, it was scary. It was terrible. In the evening, I couldn't sleep. You know why? Because I had to turn off the light and I'm alone in my room. And in this darkness, what can I see? All these different shapes and forms, right? Of course, that was just a hat or just a shirt over there. But in the night, in this darkness, oh, it was very, 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 very frightening. But I loved it. I loved it. Do you know why I loved it? Because A Nightmare on Elm Street was truly terrible, terrible horror movie. But at the end, protagonist Nancy, she had courage enough. She had faith enough to destroy the evil. And do you remember how Nancy defeated Freddy Krueger? She turned her back on him and she said, "You don't exist. I don't believe in you." And that is actually so deep. If you see that, if there is evil, there is possibility to say, "I will not participate in this horrendous and terrible thing. I will not be part of it." And yes, in that darkness, when I was a kid, in that room of mine, when I turned off the lights, I saw all of these shapes. But you know what? I had to choose. Are these shapes real or not? Am I going to believe in them or I will not? These shapes were definitely not real. shapes and darkness, forms and darkness. In the first book of the Bible, in Genesis 1, we see darkness. You know a lot about Genesis 1 because you heard the series, right, on Genesis. And today you will hear something about Jesus too. I love Pastor Ray. He's not mad at me when I say that. But Genesis 1, when we talk about Genesis 1, what do we see? We see that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit was there dwelling. But when earth, world was created, there was nothing there actually but the darkness. And what is happening in the darkness when you can't see? Nothing is happening. There is no life. Yes, you might see some kind of forms or some kind of a shapes, but guess what? They don't mean nothing because they are nothing in the darkness. As was my, you know, Freddy Krueger darkness when I was a kid. There was really nothing there. It was emptiness. In the beginning, there was nothing. God created everything from nothing. In this darkness, there were forms, but they were not truly something. They were not something or anything, just some kind of forms. When we talk about this darkness, we have to understand that there is a little bit darkness in all of us. There is something in all of us that still needs to be shaped, that still needs to be restored, or something that needs to come to life. Of course, if we look at our church basically started in darkness. And when I say our church, I don't mean our Presbyterian or Reformed church, but church in general. Jewish people were expecting Messiah. They were basically slaves with really little rights of any kind in the Holy Roman Empire, right? There was nothing there. Roman Empire had a lot of gods. They had a lot of deities. They had a lot of nationalities. And a lot of people were called holy there. But what happened is that there was no real God, one real God, God that is actually alive. You know, when Romans actually captivated one nation, they actually captured the nation and made them slaves. They took their gods, their statues, and they brought them to Rome. Why? So they can show, oh, you see, your God is equal to our gods, as you are equal to us, the Romans. But that was never the truth. There was darkness. People were suffering. Wrong gods and idols were there present. And one day, a light shined in this darkness. Something happened. As when God created the first light in Genesis, something started to happen. This light was called the Word, as read in John 1. And that Word, in this light, there was life. Life started to walk around the earth all over again. People were dead in their sins, but then the life started to walk again. When we talk about that early church, we can see that it was full of grace. It was full of love. It was filled with faith. And yes, in the early church period, what we call early church, like church fathers and apostolic fathers and so on, so the guys who actually came after Saint Peter and all of the apostles, they were ready to give their lives for the gospel. Lives for their gospel. They were actually dying for Jesus Christ, for faith, for God, for salvation of the world. Don't forget that Christians do not believe in Jesus Christ just to say, I am saved, but to say, I can pray for you so you can be saved too. So our mission is not just to praise God, but to do our best with our deeds and our actions to save the others, to be that bridge towards Christ. Unfortunately, bad things happen during the history of the church. Very bad things. Church became very institutionalized. That means that regular people or the lay people didn't have any influence on the church's life. And that means that there is no more regular person, evangelism, one-to-one outreach or anything else. What did we have? We had popes, we had a lot of bishops, we had a lot of priests, we had a lot of deacons, and all of them were better than the regular Joe. They were better. You couldn't just talk to them. They were something special. And when we see the darkness from the Genesis 1 and how God created the earth from nothing, from these weird shapes and forms, and how we see that in these the darkest times of Jewish history, Jesus Christ came and he light up the world. Now we see that this same church who received this amazing light lost the light again. So we had in the beginning no form basically at all. God creates form. Adam and Eve come. And what then? Everything falls apart. And this is what we are doing all the time, not just through the history of salvation, but in our daily life too. When we get a little bit of light, what happens? It's like we are so drawn to the darkness. And that is the fallen nature in us. Sometimes we actually want to experience it. Early church had that, and they spilled blood for the salvation of the world. In the Middle Ages, another darkness has fallen on the church and on the world. You know, because when church becomes dark, then the world is without light. I'm sure that you know it, right? We are supposed to be what? The light of the earth, of the world, right? Middle Ages, the dark Middle Ages, right? The dark period of our history and of our church. What has happened? There was no gospel. First of all, there was no gospel. I am part of the Protestant Reformed Church in Croatia, and we are proud to be called Protestant and Reformed, because something happened in that early periods of Middle Ages, and that is that we lost our language. We didn't understand our Bible because it was in Latin, right? We didn't understand pastors, priests, and their prayers. Why? Because it was all in Latin. A regular Joe, again, could not understand the one single word. When you come to church, what do you hear? Do you know what do you hear? Okay, have you seen Harry Potter? Okay, or is, yeah, it's okay. I've seen it too, but it's fine. Or some other book, read some kind of book or see some kind of a movie. There is this phrase often said, hocus pocus. There was this Halloween movie too on Disney, right? It's called Hocus Pocus. Okay. What does hocus pocus mean? Did you ever ask yourself, what does hocus pocus mean? You don't know? Well, I will tell you what hocus pocus mean. It comes from the Middle Ages, from the dark Middle Ages. It's not something new. It's not something that we created here. It started in 14th, 15th century. Hocus pocus. Okay, when you go to church on Sunday morning, what do you do? There were no pews, so you wouldn't be sleeping like today. You would be standing, right? Okay. And the priest would be at the altar, and he will be saying the prayers. And at the one moment, he would say, I will say it in English now, this is my body. In Latin, that is
Hoc est corpus meum. Hoc est corpus meum. And of course, the lay people, the laity, who don't know any Latin, they go home and they fight with their wives, with their children. And he says, oh, what are you doing there? Some kind of hocus pocus? Because he didn't understand that it's not hocus pocus, it's hoc est corpus. This is how you get these phrases from Latin. Why? Because they didn't understand what they mean, and nothing that priest said didn't make absolutely no sense. And then, remember, you have to go to church every Sunday so you don't go to hell. And you have to be there for 2 hours until priest says all of these prayers in Latin. And then you said, oh yeah, this was really good for my soul. Oh, I feel real, you know, I feel inspired. God is great, right? Would you say that? Well, when we are talking about these dark ages, well, this is what we are talking about. We are not talking, oh, they didn't have indoor plumbing. Who cares about indoor plumbing, right? We are talking about the Word of God. There was no Word of God. And even though they had it in Latin, they read it, no one understood a thing. And I will tell you one more thing. And we have these documents actually from that age that even priests didn't understood what they were saying. And there was a law, canon law, that if they missed a word from the liturgy, they have to go all over again. So forget about 2 hours liturgy. You are going to be there 6 hours and no pews. Right? You want to talk about dark ages now, huh? Now, this is something. This is something for real. Why am I saying that? Not because to make you laugh, but to show you that we've come a long way from there. When you come to church, you have family. You don't have one guy or one priest who is going to do prayers for you. No. You have brothers and sisters. And they are going to pray for you. And how did that happen? How did that happen? In this darkness. In these dark, dark ages. There were theologians. Professors of theology. Very good priests. Who knew that their Greek and their Hebrew and their Latin. And they said, you know what? We should translate the Bible so every single person can read and understand. Because if we as theologians have such a joy reading it and getting such a pleasure and such amazing fruits of the Spirit through reading the Scripture, why don't we allow this to our people? Yes, dark ages, but something came up. Remember John 1. A word, and the word was light. So the light is starting to grow now. From this one guy, or two guys, or three guys, of course you know who these people were. John Wycliffe at first, right? Then you had that guy in today's Czechia, in Europe, in Eastern Europe, right? Jan Hus, or John Huss, I think you call it in English, right? And then you had Martin Luther, that everyone knows about him. So what happened? They said, let's do it. Let's translate the Scripture into our native languages. And they did. And that's how things started to change. Yes, when these people were just theologians, just priests, they had to say all of these masses, all of these liturgies, all of these prayers. And people had to be part of it if they don't want to go to hell, if they want to be saved. And now, for the first time in a lot of years, in a few hundred years, this Word of God, the light, shined again. When we are talking, when we talk about light in our life, yes, of course, we can talk about our families. We can talk about everything that we have. We can talk about every blessing. But remember, you wouldn't have your family this nice, your job this good, if there was no Bible, if there was no Ten Commandments, if there was no grace and mercy, if there was no love between us that only God can show us through His Word. Reformation did that. Reformation. Yes. Reformation comes from two words from its forma or form. What does form mean? What do you think? What does form mean? Shape, right? Some kind of a shape. It looks like something, like me in my darkness with Freddy Krueger. Like, it looks like something. Okay, what? I don't know. It's scary. Okay, so form. And we have this reform, to reshape it, to create something new, to create something better. Church was church in 1st century, in 2nd century, in 10th, in 11th century, in 13th century, and in 16th century, the church was church. And there was never a time where there was no church. The problem was that the church was what? Deformed. Its shape was different than it's supposed to be. When God imagined church, when God created church through Adam and Eve first, right, we have the proto-church, then it was good. It was good. And then something happened. We fell, our form a little bit deteriorated. And of course, we are human beings. We lead this church, we as a pastor, as a preachers. Sometimes this form doesn't look like it was supposed to look. So what had to happen? A reformation. And this is what we celebrated last month in Croatia. It was nice, beautiful, even TV coverage. Live TV coverage from our oldest church from 16th century. And it was so hard to get that deal in an all Catholic country. But they allowed us to do that. And we were so blessed by it. And a lot of people who actually saw the live broadcast from the oldest Protestant church in Croatia, in that region of Balkans. Reformation, it gave us light. It gave us hope. And now, you know, in 16th century, if your kid is sick and you bring it to the priest, what can he say? He will say prayers in Latin and nothing will happen to your heart. If your daughter died and you need what? You need consolation from the Lord and you get prayers in Latin and you don't understand anything, not a single word. How can God consult you through your biggest pain? It's impossible. It's deformation. God is love. God is mercy. God is amazing. But through this deformation, he was not able to help these people because the word was not clear. The pardon was not clear. The mercy was non-existent. 16th century brought us that. Reformation gave us that. And today we are here in this beautiful, beautiful church. And I would like to thank Pastor Rick and Pastor Ray for having me today. It's a great honor. You know, my church has between 10 and 20 people on Sunday morning. It's a really small church. And when I speak here, it's like I'm in a mega church. Post tenebras lux. After darkness, light. It's based on the book of Job. But it was like the basic idea of the reformers and humanists of that time. After darkness, we will bring light. When there is no literacy in Holy Scriptures, we will bring it. We will open schools and that is what they did. We will show you light. We will give you light. After these dark times and dark ages without any form or deformation, we are here to translate the scriptures, to preach in German, in English, in Croatian, so you can have your amazing grace. Yes. Brothers and sisters, Thanksgiving is coming. We don't have that in Croatia, but you do. I know you kill a lot of turkeys. Yes, I appreciate that. Nasty birds. And not just Thanksgiving, of course. Christmas is coming. New Year's is coming. A lot of holidays are here almost. Remember, you are the light of this world. And remember one more thing. You are the light of your family. Okay. There are probably people in your family who are not Christians. Or who are saying they are, but they are not really. And you know that. To be light means to be there for them when they need conversation. When they are in the darkness, so you can shine on them. Okay? When they feel hopeless, you can give them hope. When they feel alone, you will give them company. Right? This is what it means to be Christian, you know? Not just, I am saved, hallelujah! But hallelujah, yes, I can be like Christ. I can be like light. I can be light for my family. I can be light for my father, for my mother, for my neighbor who does not believe and he's in such a terrible pain. I can try and pray for him and with him. And I will be his consolation with the help of the Holy Spirit. I can do that. Reforming our relationship. You know, our relationships can also be deformed. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, but sometimes our this form, family form that we have as a Christian family, sometimes it gets what? Deformed. And I will tell you a true story. Danny Baker. Do you know Danny Baker? Danny Baker came to my church. And he came there to teach and to preach. And you know, I said to everyone, you know, bring your friends, you know, call everyone you know, let them come, let them hear the gospel. Then he was actually talking about John Calvin too. And what happened is that one guy came who I really don't like. And I will tell you something, this guy is a Christian, a very devout Christian, but I don't like the guy. I'm sorry, I just don't. And he really doesn't like me. And we haven't been speaking like for 10 years, well, not 10, 5 years, for 5 years, right? And you know, I'm getting things ready in the church, you know, everything has to be great, you know, Danny's going to preach, Danny's going to teach. Okay, and I see this guy walking in, and I'm like, really, Lord? Today, okay. And this guy came, and he heard the message that Danny brought from you guys, for Providence. And after the service, this guy came to me, and he shook my hand. And we apologized to each other. Our relationship was deformed. And I couldn't reform it again. I had to have someone else from the outside to come and to help me. Because my pride and my ego was too big, too large to talk to this brother again. And it was probably the same for him, right? So the guy that could, you know, bring us back together was one of you. It was Danny Baker. Presbyter, your ruling elder. You see, sometimes even I, and I'm a theologian, I hold a doctorate in historical theology and applied theology. I'm a preacher. Sometimes I cannot bring light to my life. I need some of you. And sometimes you will have to have someone from the outside to bring the light into your family, into your relationships. This year, I would like for you all to be different. I would like for you all to talk to our family members. If you have some kind of a disputes, some kind of a fights in your family, maybe this is time to reform your relationship, to reform your shapes, to reform your family units, your neighborhoods. This is the best time. As I look back at my beautiful, wonderful Europe, that is currently suffering so much. Of course, I want that for us too. But it's hard so far. Thank you very much for having me this morning. I will close us in prayer. Is that okay? Okay. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning, for this fellowship that we have. I know we are not worthy of anything, of any grace, of any mercy, but you are so kind to us. You are so humble, even though we are so prideful. You are so dear to our hearts, even though sometimes we are trying to avoid you, just to live our own life. Lord, please bless us all today. Bless our families. Bless our relationships. Bless everyone we will talk, to whom we will talk this week. Let us be the light of United States of America. Let us be light of this town. Let us be light of everyone and everywhere in this world. Lord, please keep the light on in Europe, in European Union, and in our churches and seminaries. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.